Hey gang, and welcome to the Hub Podcast, episode number 30. Today I have a wonderful guest duo, Raven and Ryan Wolf, owners and entrepreneurs of the popular event industry brands such as Wolf Weddings, Look Entertainment, Garnish Bar Company. I think that's it, unless they've gone and launched yet another company since I sat down with them. You never know with these guys. So that'll be coming right up. Before we get started, let's hear from our newest sponsor, Fresh Start Cleaning. As business owners, parents, and just generally busy people, we know that life is full of stress, project deadlines, fitness goals, errands, interviews, opportunities, vacations, meetings, to-do lists, dinners to be made, and every single demand claims to be top priority. A clean space seems like such a simple thing, but in the middle of a full life, it can be a chance to find a refreshing, clean start in the middle of your day or your hectic week, a chance to focus on the real priorities. However you choose to enjoy this gift is up to you, but we are dedicated to providing you with a trustworthy, consistent, and thorough service so that you can have the gift of a fresh start. Our company provides reliable residential and commercial cleaning services to our clients in San Antonio, Texas. Why not give us a call to discuss how we can serve you? The number is 210-538-4567. Call or text us and mention the Hub and get $30 off your initial cleaning. Okay, Raven and Ryan. For building such popular companies, they seem to purposely keep themselves out of the industry spotlight, which must be wonderful. They said that this was their first time sharing a lot of the information publicly, so we certainly appreciate their candor here. I've known these guys for quite a few years, and I know them to be smart, hardworking, dedicated, and most importantly, consistent. I've watched them over the years, consistently pushing forward, consistently changing and growing, consistently trying to be better. And while they don't give any hint of feeling like they've like arrived, they certainly have managed to build their businesses to a pretty enviable size in this industry. And I found them to be both very honest about their paths and seemingly very optimistic about their future. And I think that they are the kind of people who can communicate in such a way that other people can connect to them and learn from them. So listeners, I really hope you do that. Learn and be inspired by these guys. So here they are, Ryan and Raven Wolf for The Hub, episode number 30. I hope you guys dig this one.
Said you could use a little help.
Ouch.
So there would be no intentions of that, but it just comes via like side note. Someone sees it on the road, you know, like it's just the way it
is. Well, so I want to go back, if it's okay, to, you know, pre-success. Tell me a little bit about you guys. How did you meet? Where are you from?
Okay. I'm from here. I was born in San Antonio.
Okay.
And lived most of my life here. Definitely moved around a lot. Went to college somewhere else. And
you know, where'd you go to college?
Boston.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Boston, Massachusetts. I went to Suffolk
University. That Boston.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Went to Suffolk University. Lived there for like, I don't know, 5 years or so. Loved it.
No, I'll bet.
Loved it. Very different than here.
It is very.
Yeah, but ultimately came back because, I mean, it can't really beat South Texas, in my opinion. I mean, the weather, the lifestyle. I had a degree, but I was broke and cold and didn't know, like, what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And was really just kind of like...
What's your degree in?
Advertising and marketing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is... Has definitely helped.
I'll
bet. Had a joke for a long time that had I known what I was going to get into, I might not necessarily have spent thousands of dollars and gone to college.
Sure.
Because you don't need it to
sure.
be successful in what we do.
Yeah.
No, it was just a couple thousand.
I said thousands. but that we still pay off, as you see in sour note. But No, but it was cool. It was cool. Yeah, I have a degree. He didn't go to college. Thank God. We'd be paying on two loans.
But every once in a while, she can talk down to you.
I can.
Yeah. She can try. As we know, in the event industry, you don't need a certification.
Yeah.
You don't go to a school. You have to learn it live.
Yeah.
That's the best way
to do it. All right. You made your point. You get it. Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Now, she wanted to be the lawyer. She's got me.
Okay. All right.
Which was fair. She considered that.
That's actually why I went to college. I went for law school and was on the pre-law track, and then completely after about a year was like,
decided not your thing.
Not what I wanted to do. It's not what I thought.
Looks so much better on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a lot less fulfilling than I thought it would be, and I was just in like year one. So
yeah,
I got out of that and jumped around and whatever, figured out advertising, but came back here. I've been here since 2009, so 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, where are you from? Michigan?
Yeah.
What part of Michigan?
Well, I was born in the northern part of Michigan, Sheboygan.
Like the UP?
Just below that.
Okay.
Right at the Mackinac Ridge.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar?
Little town.
A little bit. I spent a summer up, and this is a weird story, but I spent a summer up in the Upper Peninsula because my parents sort of put me in a boring military school.
I see.
Yeah. Because
they
thought I was. Yeah.
That's not a far distance.
Oh, it was as far as they could put me.
Apparently, I mean, that would have been like a 4-hour drive for me.
It was as far as they could, and as different of a climate
yes.
as they could find me. And they just said the silliest shit that we would do, like. We would have to carry 60-pound packs, and if you screwed up, they had somebody who'd make, you know, those tall snowbanks that they'd clean the roads, and then as the snow gathered to the side of the road, they'd have you start in front of that and then try to push your way through it with a 60-pound pack. You didn't get anywhere except to the point of exhaustion and throwing up, and they just thought that was great. It was stupid, stupid shit like that. Anyways.
They had to teach you lessons.
Well, and they did. They taught me to hate them, is what they taught me.
Exactly. It's like, how do I get out of here as fast as possible?
That's basically what you were thinking the whole time, right? It was very cold.
Yeah. I did,
But I did notice and that you could go out in like 7-degree temperatures, snow on the ground, sun's out, and you could be in shorts. You can't get away with that here.
You can as long as there's no wind.
Oh, you can if there's no... Okay.
Yeah, because that snow gives you such great reflection.
Well, the snow is really insulating. Yeah. Like when it snows, it's not that cold when you go out.
Remember when you were a kid and you'd see on TV Colorado skiers in their t-shirts and their baseball hats?
Sure.
That's so cool. You get really sweaty when you're obviously skiing.
Yeah,
so that keeps you cool.
Yeah.
Like as you're moving, your sweat keeps you nice and cool.
Well, here in San Antonio...
When you get to the bottom, though, you're a little bit...
Yeah. If it gets like 40 degrees, I'm freezing. I'm dying.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I think it's that wet.
When it was 60, when I was back home just last couple weeks ago, that I was cold.
Yeah.
In the morning, it was like 69 degrees.
Yeah.
And I walked outside and I was like, whoo! This is in South Texas.
Yeah.
It's 75 when we wake up in the morning.
So what were you into in Michigan? What did you like?
Well.
Explain your dual.
Yeah, so I kind of was like raised... dual location. Parents were divorced young.
Okay.
So spent a lot of time on a dairy farm with my father.
Okay.
And
in Michigan?
In Michigan.
Okay.
We had a huge dairy farm. All the dads of the family ran and operated up, you know, crops and silos and tractors and cattle and all that stuff. Right?
Okay.
So every break from school, summer vacation, I was at my dad's.
Okay.
So I was really only getting an education in the city.
Okay.
Detroit.
In Detroit.
With his mom.
With my mom. My mom was just a hairdresser, single mom. Hairdresser.
Yeah.
Something she was going to school for when she met my father.
Uh-huh.
Obviously that didn't work out.
Yep.
So he stayed there. She moved back to the city, which is where her parents were.
Mm-hmm.
Typically what you do when you're a college student and have no money, right?
Yeah, of course.
You gotta go where mommy and daddy are.
Yeah, of course.
So that was Detroit. Grew up, right in the heart of the city for quite some time. And it got pretty, bad for us to live in the city, and I was getting in trouble as a kid.
Sure.
Obviously, inner city schools.
Yeah.
So we moved out to the suburbs when I was like 8th grade.
Yeah.
I got very lucky. She met somebody, she moved on.
Do we call him stepdad?
Well, that relationship did not.
Oh, okay.
It's not the Forever.
Okay.
She is currently involved in the Forever.
Yeah.
Now.
Do we like him?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been around 20 some years now. So.
Oh, that's nice.
I think it actually took me leaving for her to find a man for herself instead of a man for me.
That's an interesting perspective, sure.
Only child, same as right now.
So yeah.
We both come from, you know, very humble beginnings.
Yeah, sure.
So anywhere from where we come from is up.
Yeah, that's...
So we're, very, very thankful that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, you guys have done very well. Congrats on being smart and ambitious.
Thanks.
Yeah, we just had to work hard.
I hear there's a direct correlation between success and working hard. That's funny how that works out. What brought you to San Antonio then?
So... my career in Michigan evolved from several different things. I've always been very curious to do many things. So I've done as much as being a jewelry maker to a roofer, to a plumber, to a mechanic. I've had blue collar and
do you always make things? Are you always a hands-on guy?
Yes. I took a telephone apart when I was 9 and my mom freaked out.
Sure.
So I had to learn how to put it back together and then make it work.
Okay.
So from that point on.
And you were able to do that.
Yeah, I was fascinated.
That's awesome. I have none of that skill. I so admire that.
You know, I grew up watching This Old House on TV as a very young child and super intrigued with the tools.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And I think that came from wanting to be a man. Mom, dad, kind of divorced, you know, I'm an only child, trying to figure out. What is a man?
This is manly stuff.
What does men do?
Yeah.
So the only man in my life that I got to see that was really, you know, perpetually a man.
Yeah.
Was my father.
Sure. Sure.
Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Riding tractor. And,
sure.
Slapping a cow.
Is that what he did?
To get it into a stall. You know, it's just like, yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know, slapping is the right word. But it got moving.
Yeah. Sure.
So you know, there's things that have to be done. It's also called work.
Yeah.
Like on a farm, it doesn't stop.
Yeah. Yes.
It's 24/7.
Yeah.
So for me.
Is dad still around?
Yeah.
Do you go visit the farm?
Still drives tractor.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. He's got an agricultural group.
Does he let you slap cows now?
No, there's no more slapping cows. I haven't been on a farm since I was 14.
Okay.
Decided that I really was trying to go onto a different path. And at that point in time is when those different careers started.
Yep.
I was so curious with all these things that I had learned on my own in my garage.
Yep.
You know.
But you were a mortgage broker.
So anyways, long story short, I got out of like all the blue collar work and I found a real good niche in selling on the phone as a loan officer, mortgage broker.
Okay.
During the best time. Like, during, like I'm
during the height.
Okay,
so
all right.
I got in 2000.
2005-ish?
2008 was a crash.
Well, 8 was a crash.
8 was a crash.
You got it.
I lasted all the way till 8.
Okay.
So from 01 to 08.
You had a nice run.
Yeah, nice run.
Yeah.
And I was making considerable money. I got to buy my first house when I was about 24.
Beautiful.
I had several vehicles.
How'd you handle that?
He was so responsible.
I was very responsible. Yeah. Very responsible. I built a huge savings account.
I don't know you well, but I feel like you're being sarcastic.
So I blew all the money.
Okay.
That's what young, responsible men do. I had supercharged Mustangs.
Hell yeah.
You know, on boats all the time.
But you looked really
cool. You looked really cool.
We had so much fun.
I'm sure.
I can't even replace the years of, of fun.
Can you even remember that?
That's a very good question. So the fun overtook the funds.
Yeah.
And I had no more money.
Gotcha.
08 hit. I actually lost everything.
Yeah.
So I gave up a house, a car, trucks, all the things inside of it that you would consider to be life.
That's a lesson.
Yeah.
A huge lesson.
And
you weren't around at this
point. No, I was not around. I didn't even know.
I didn't plan back.
It's probably better that he had been through that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's to say that a relationship would have lasted through something?
There's a 10-year difference too between Ryan and I. He's 10 years older than I am, so
just
I think I was still. Well, I'm just saying. I think I was still.
I knew it was at least 10.
Yeah.
At least. So the evolvement from there was.
So you probably weren't born yet while
right.
he was going through that.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Yeah.
I'm well.
You were still in diapers, and
well
he was.
Yeah. She's eating cereal on Saturday morning.
Strippers, Mustangs.
Yeah.
It's really, really entertaining. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. You keep going with your story.
Back on track. I lose everything.
Yeah.
And it's a really good thing.
You made it a good thing.
I was just not going in the direction of life that I wanted to be going.
Sure.
I couldn't find the right female, which was really bothersome to me.
Sure.
But it was about the lifestyle. It was too much work and too much party and not enough paying attention to family and yourself and all the
other things. It's a lot of output, not a lot of self-investment.
Yes.
Not a lot of self-reflection at all.
Yeah. Sure.
Correct. So actions were being taken with no thought of consequences. Sure. So when you grow up and mature, things don't really work out that way.
Yeah.
You decide you want different things. Mm-hmm. And I was on a hunt for the right female.
Okay.
To go to the next level. Yeah, I know. I had my hair cut. I had lost everything, so I was really broke. Great way to get a female, you know? Yeah, they're all attracted to that.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Nose down in the sand, gave up everything, sold everything.
Yeah.
Went to work in the oil field in
Texas. But that's a funny story in itself, because he was living in Michigan and he thought he was like, okay, I have nothing. I'm gonna apply for a job.
I go to this job interview is the story she's pertaining to.
Okay.
And it's very funny because it kind of shows how stupid children can be, right? So I was a dumb job, and I'm sitting there in an interview.
Did you just insult all of children so you didn't have to mention I was a very dumb child specifically?
Your child might not be dumb, but I was. So I went to this interview, and at the end he said, okay, I really like your resume. It looks like you have the right work experience for this position. I'm going to offer it to you, and you can go to Midland for training for the next 6 months. I was like, cool. I was like, is it okay if I drive back on the weekends, since, you know, I only live right here in Howell, you know? Those two cities in Michigan are very close.
There's a Midland.
I didn't realize that he was talking about Midland, Texas.
Yes.
In the biggest oil field in the country.
30-hour drive.
Right. It was 26 when I'm out there. Yeah. So he goes, no, I really don't think you can make it there and back in time. I was totally flabbergasted. I had no idea.
Didn't put it together.
You don't math very good.
I'm signing the contract, and it says training and location, Midland, Texas.
Uh-oh.
Shit. That's what you meant.
Yeah, hold on. Question. Excuse me before you leave.
So that accidentally said
Texas.
I'm broke as a joke.
Yeah, sure.
The house is in foreclosure. Yeah. I can't take any more money on credit cards to actually survive.
Right. Surely that almost felt like an escape. Surely it almost felt good to go, peace out, Michigan. Yeah.
Exactly was what was needed for a relight. A life restart for myself.
Yeah.
So I rebooted up. I had to go back to doing blue collar work.
Sure.
Oil field isn't hard to move up.
Oh, that's good.
Not hard to shine there.
Yeah.
So I did get a boss position, drive around a truck, just reading meters and watching engines turn. You know,
awesome. Very hard work, though. Very hard work.
So I was working.
Raven's looking out for you.
A little bit more humble on the hours I've put in, but 96 hours a week, about
Jesus
five
Christ.
Hour, yeah. 5 years straight.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
I was living at a campground at a KOA.
Yeah.
Yep.
How was your hunt for the right female?
Kind of how we actually met.
Oh, you did it! All right.
Not there, but he met a different female that's indirectly led him.
That bitch.
real quick story of how you come from the oil field, and I finally wasn't broke anymore. I had finally cussed, you know, all of the old debt.
Nice.
Credit was still
of course.
Crappy,
yeah.
But I knew how to fix it because I was in the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Just write your letters, wait your time, you know, get you a little account.
Sure.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
So I get in a relationship with a female that wants to come to, what is the big hair school here? Paul Mitchell? Whatever. The hair school. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. You know, I married my mom. Exactly. So I'm like, oh, geez. What kind of path did I go down?
Yeah.
Probably the one that has been written for me.
Yeah.
So we get here. It turns out like she doesn't like hair, but doesn't tell me. Stops going to school.
Okay.
Blah, blah. That puts a big strain on the relationship.
I would imagine.
I'm going to work every day, but you're sitting on the couch. This isn't going to work.
Sure.
So we split.
Sure.
I find a friend through billiards, pool, like playing pool.
Okay.
It's like a real big nighttime hobby for me and have been for years. He needs a roommate.
By the way, can I point out
time frame?
Your whole story with you starting out wanting to be a man has like hit every single like trope of, you know, Hollywood man, you know, from farm to, you know, inside trading kind of, you know, to being on an oil field. Really, I mean, you've kind of hit all of those.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you've earned whatever manhood, you know, so good on you there, I guess.
That was a major goal of mine.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Were you like,
I don't know why,
get into scuffles and hang out at bars? Did you hit that kind of like?
Not too much. The reason being was is that when I moved to the city, I found hockey as the sport of choice for me.
Sure.
So being as violent as
you could be active there,
it was great.
Yeah.
I could come off the ice and not want to get into a typical fight like some of my friends would. But after I get here to San Antonio and the relationship dissolves, I find a friend, like I was saying, and we roommate up together, and we find out that through another mutual friend, their military family, so they're moving, and we can rent their house.
Oh, cool.
Which is unbelievable.
Yes.
It's an unbelievable price because she knows. At the time, I was a server at a restaurant, and I was also a mechanic. I was working at Tom Benson.
Yeah, we had lots of jobs. When we met, you were a full-time mechanic, Tom Benson, and serving at a restaurant that no longer exists that was called, Texas Land and Cattle.
Oh, I remember that. Off of 410.
It's so a different steakhouse. I worked across the street, basically.
Yeah.
So it was able for me to quit the shop.
Easy to pick.
You know, quit the shop at 5, drive right across the street, because I could shower at the shop.
Okay, yeah.
Because we all had, it was beautiful. It was like working at a Cadillac dealership.
Nice.
So that's why I stayed there.
Yeah.
We were living together.
Tom Benson's on San Pedro, yeah?
Yeah, it's just
Wait. Don't skip to there. I want to know.
So let me take over the story.
Okay.
So that's where his situation lies. It's a little long-winded. So I
like his stories.
I was going to give you a short
one. I like his stories.
So yes, that was his situation. He was living basically like in a frat party house with his friends, pool league, living the life.
I like her perspective a lot more, Ryan. Can
it
you
was,
sit, just it, sit this one out for
pretty,
sure?
It was, I'm pretty spot on there.
I went to work at 7, we would come home, we
worked
party hard all night long, and then we'd do it all over again.
You're not very good at sitting out.
Okay.
Yeah, it talks a lot. Anyways, I was a bartender at that same restaurant.
Okay.
Working part-time. I had a full-time job. I worked at the Art Institute off of I-10.
Sure.
Desk job, boring. I was an assistant director for admissions, which is a fancy word for I try to get people to sign up to take our courses.
Okay.
Worked in a cubicle and wanted to die. And so was working on the weekends there as a bartender. He was working on the weekends as a server. That's how we met.
Oh.
But at the same restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was throwing awesome parties that everybody at the restaurant knew. So
are we
going to
be like super honest about everything?
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I don't know.
Super honest about everything. You can always go back and...
You don't have to say about your old relationships. If you
I like to tell a story about how you asked me out because it's great. But you have to know...
Only because it makes you look...
The background. It does. Because there's probably very few times in Ryan's life that I think you've been rejected. And this was...
No, don't leave, Ryan.
No, I worked at this restaurant, both part-time. I had a very weird personal situation. I was also getting out of a relationship but still living with that person, so it was really...
Yeah, that's always awkward, yeah.
Definitely not in a position to get into a relationship.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it took a while for us working together before we actually, like, went on a date and got to know each other, but...
Were you attracted to each other pretty initially?
Oh, I think we were both very much attracted to each other.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me out right away, and I said no, but he didn't explain. I was like, it was really great. You know those like POS stations where you like go and put your table's order in?
Okay, sure.
The little computer thing.
It's called POS, like piece of shit. I don't really know what it stands for, but it's called a POS station.
That's awesome.
And
I don't think we need to change it. It's just a piece of shit station.
And we're both putting in orders, and like all slick, Ryan's like, so, you know, you want to go out this weekend? And I was like, wanting to say yes, but also being like, how the hell am I supposed to explain my really messy situation? That's just like, it's like red flags all over the place. So I was just like, I'm gonna say no right now. And it was just like super awkward. I didn't really have a response.
Well, how is it? How do you let somebody down?
I really just said, I'm gonna go no right now.
She said, it's just not a good time for me to date somebody right now. I think what she told
me. I think
me.
It's what I said.
Well, that's pretty honest.
I was like, okay, you're into girls, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You must be a lesbian.
That's what I mean.
Wow.
Rejection doesn't happen very much.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. I love to tease him. His ego, you know. You gotta smush him when you can. No, but about a month later, my situation changed. She asked me out again. We went out, and we basically never left each other's side since then. That was
nice.
Like 8 years ago. Yeah.
Our first date was like 8 hours.
But
yeah,
when how this whole our whole business got started was because when we first started dating, obviously we had nothing to
do. Well, you're doing a bunch of different jobs.
You
were out of the oil field, you were in San Antonio, full time mechanic and server. You were a bartender and admin / sales.
Right, yep, living here.
We never stopped working at the restaurant the whole time. That was our go to for cash for us to survive when we were living in an apartment.
Yeah.
Sure.
Until we learned how to sell weddings and get into the industry.
Okay,
why?
You're jumping ahead. So here's how we got into
Can you just let Raven tell it?
Ping pong. So we haven't even got
is this
to us
Wolf
getting
weddings
into
podcast
it.
Or a Raven
this
podcast.
Is Wolf's This is the story of us told correctly by Raven.
Oh, by Raven.
No, just kidding. But how we got into it was because it's
she's
a sucky
kind of fun
story.
With a microphone in front of her, isn't she?
Well, it's a sucky story with a silver lining.
Okay,
that's a good,
okay,
I think
tell.
It's a good lesson. So obviously
that's like,
it had nothing to do with weddings
yeah.
at all. I did kind of have this, you know, kind of idea before I met Ryan that I wanted to be a florist, but I wasn't. I had done research on like traditional florist shops, and it took a lot of money that I didn't have,
sure.
investment.
Oh, for a brick and mortar.
For like
exactly,
retail.
Yeah. I was doing like research, and that's what I was finding was like traditional flower shop services when I said I want to be a florist. I don't become a florist.
Yeah.
I was kind of missing that wedding component,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
at this point. And so I had researched it. I got discouraged. I was like, I don't
had
have
Had you
the
always
money.
Been attracted to floral or
yeah.
design? You had.
Yeah. I'd
okay.
always liked flowers and wanted to do something with it. And but got discouraged. I was like, I don't have thousands of dollars to invest.
Sure.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I had no experience. So
you think you have to go to school and learn?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You don't know that it can be a self-taught
go get some, sure.
experience.
For sure.
If you're willing
it's
to
it's not exactly a regulated industry.
Exactly. Which is good and
our whole event industry is not.
It's
regulated.
Bad now that you're made it and at the top. It was good
when
you were trying to kick the doors
exactly.
down. Oh, it's
so
a pretty
true.
Flimsy door to kick down. Thank fucking Christ.
That is
that's
so
good.
True. yeah, so I had put that on the shelf and then met Ryan and then a funny thing happened.
Okay.
So on 11/11/11, which
okay.
was supposed to be the luckiest day,
sure.
right? At least I thought. I went into my job, which I had switched at this point. I was doing it, working for a different school, still doing the same type of job. Walked in, I was like, hey guys, I'm feeling great. 11/11. I started a lottery pool. I'm like, hey, everybody in the office, give me money. We'll go buy tickets today. I was drawing. I was fired by lunchtime.
Oh my God.
Laid off.
Well, I was laid off, you're right. I was the newest hire, and I was kicking ass at this job. I was doing great, and really, like,
this was at the art institute?
It was, I had switched to a vocational school, South Texas Vocational...
SVT.
STVT.
SVT.
Yeah. And anyway, they called me in and said, we have to lay off people. Our numbers are down, and it's going by seniority, not... You know,
it
emails.
Goes by enrollment, yeah, numbers.
And I was let go, and it sucked.
Of
I felt like the lowest of the low. I'd
of
never
course.
Even been fired from a
yeah.
job, and this
yeah.
was like, you know, it sucked.
I
and
remember she
I
told
was
me
feeling
lunchtime.
I had an apartment in Alamo Heights, and I was like, I want to pay for this. Oh my God, you
yeah.
know, like just really freaking out. Called, you know, of course, yeah, I remember calling you upset, and we had just started dating, and I mean, just we were a couple months in, and it was like, okay, whatever, you know. Pep talk, keep going. Well, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, right around.
Ryan seems like he'd be good at pep talks.
He actually is.
I
actually
bet
he is very good at pep talks.
I bet he is.
And about 2 weeks later, around Thanksgiving, Ryan got laid off.
Oh, no.
From the dealership.
How good are you at pep talks?
We were both like, now what do we do?
Oh,
so we
no.
hustled hard at the restaurant.
Okay.
What we really did was we were like, you know, like... What are we gonna do? Like,
yeah.
what, you know, what are we gonna do with our lives, basically? And this really stinks. Like, I felt like I was just starting to get momentum, and I, you know, I've got an apartment. I'm out of college.
Coffee
I got cup, things going
lunch
up.
Bag.
Yeah. You're a real
and,
adult.
Yeah, and he felt the same as
sure.
his kind of chapter two here in
well,
Texas.
He was a real adult. He's been a real adult.
I had been already in the workforce
yeah.
for quite some time.
Yeah.
Somebody else was in college.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, Ryan, and the way I remember it and look at it is Ryan just really encouraged me to do what I had been contemplating before. You know, he's like, what do you want to do? You know, we know that we hate working at the restaurant. It's not what we want to make our career as. And I wasn't fulfilled in a cubicle office job doing what I was doing. Absolutely I really didn't not. Like it or feel good at the end of the day. And
I worry about people who are fulfilled by that.
I do too.
It's like, oh, man. It's mediocre.
Like, do you own a gun? Please hand it over.
Seriously. You know, that's a really good point. Some of my, like, office mates that, like, loved their lives, like, how? Like, you don't see the sun. Like, it's not for me.
I didn't live for the one Saturday night where you blew half your paycheck. That's silly. Silly. It was so silly to me.
Where you have to go crazy at Vegas once or twice a year.
Yeah, something like that.
Be okay
just
with
because the office said you get the day off now. It's okay. You know? Like, I don't... I didn't want to live that way. I mean, she was very against the grain naturally. So we both said, okay, we're like the perfect yin and yang, so why don't we just kind of work together to accomplish this goal?
So he was like, what do you want to do? And, you know, you had mentioned flowers before, and I'm like, yeah, we still don't have any money. So I started doing a lot of research, and I had done a lot of corporate coordinating and my other jobs, and I started looking up, and honestly I was looking for something I could do without any money that had to go in, something I knew I possessed this low barrier, something I possessed the skills.
Of course.
Right. Something I possessed the skills for and that I knew that I was confident I'd be good at and that I could get excited about. And after a lot of research kind of stemming from flowers, it landed me in weddings. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to do flowers. I was like, I don't actually know how to do flowers at this point.
Yeah,
and I was like, but and it,
well,
and
neither
it
do
money.
Some of the florists. That worked out pretty well.
Neither did I my first year, honestly. But
do you ever look back at your work in the first couple of years and go, man, I had
we
some
deleted
forgiving
all those
brides.
Photos. No, we deleted all those photos. We no longer look at that.
Absolute crap. I mean, we were honest with our brides, and we're like, hey, I don't, when I started the flower, which was later, but we started the planning first. I decided, okay, I think I can really tackle planning. It won't drain me for any money. I can market it for free and use my degree that I have and how I know how to do that.
Smart.
And I know that I can figure this out with experience and get a good handle on it. But to be honest with you, we went in completely blind. We were kind of like, fake it till you make it, and we were honest with our clients. But I didn't go to any classes or courses. I just did my own research. I talked to my brides. I talked to my couples. And I just did, like, real
person
training.
Because I met you pretty early on, didn't
Very
I?
Very early.
Was you we were next to each other at Rustic Gardens.
Which is still there?
I don't know.
It's still there.
Who owns
I don't know
that?
What it's
Who owns that
now? Once Jennifer gave it up, she sold it to somebody named Stephanie, I think, who was at the Tower of Americas.
Okay.
And now Stephanie's out, and I don't know who's... we don't get out there
kind of
anymore.
Property, I think. But yeah, that was the first time that I met you with Zach. ZSR.
Lots of people in this town don't even know about ZSR.
But I remember that day made an impression.
Well, because we were in his office.
You guys were directly... I'm talking about all the other vendors that have come along in the last 4 years.
They've never even heard the story.
Because that was like... 6-7 years ago. We've been together 8 and in the wedding industry for 7. Yeah.
That was such a funny thing. Not funny haha, but such an odd thing to watch happen for so many people to have comments and opinions on it that I was like, how do you, with all the shit that was going on Facebook about him, that I thought, he's just a 24-year-old kid who thought, he's just like you. He thought he had life by the balls. And for a little while, he did.
He did not know how to manage money.
Until he hit a wall and went, oh shit, I didn't think about this, but he gambled too big.
He overextended all his lease money.
Yeah. But he didn't, I mean, of course he knows now, but I just thought some of the things that came up on Facebook, like, oh, he's doing this and everything. Like, he's a mastermind. No.
He was an uneducated kid.
He was a kid.
He had too much money. We actually remember one day when we were just getting into the industry.
Uh-huh.
We had done like 5 weddings.
Sure.
He came in and ate at a restaurant.
He did.
And
we recognized
him.
I served him because
of Facebook.
The first year we had the business, obviously we didn't have enough business to just do it full time.
Uh-huh.
So we were both still serving and bartending at Texas Land Cattle.
And
it was so great, like taking an order and then like running outside to answer the phone.
She was working while we were working.
Yeah,
so what we would do is
get your tea in a second. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so the real story was she became so focused on this wedding thing. She got the wedding bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
She absolutely just hated the restaurant. Yes. But had to go there because of financial reasons.
Sure.
So I had to be the superhuman and take over both sections so that she could sit outside by the dumpster on the phone so the bosses wouldn't know.
He was the greatest server ever, is what he's getting at, which he really was.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah. I became superhuman server.
So it's an interesting and I probably, there's a little bit of relatability there because I feel like Raven and my wife have some of that same like creative entrepreneurial and everything else has to be done still.
Yes.
And so you just become like, I feel like I do, and I joke about having zero talent, but the fact is entrepreneurs have like a, this thing needs to be done, and they become very good at this thing. But then everything else still has to be done. And so somebody has to come in and take over everything else. And I feel like that's kind of been my life as a supporting role, as a good number two guy. So anytime you want to, like, maybe you and I can start a podcast of support roles.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, it is great to think back to the beginning when I was always playing the number two role.
Right.
Because
that's not an importance thing, by the way.
No,
it's not meant as any.
Not at all. It was fully recognized that I was the yin to the yang.
Yeah. And
you had to have somebody that could go out
and be that superhuman to make sure everything, all the balls stay up in the air.
There are logistical nightmares that happen around weddings, as most professionals know.
And what is normally your role on wedding weekend, we call you the floater, is because I need someone to handle everything. Like, I need you. You can't be assigned to this wedding. I need you to be able to go to any wedding and like make sure that shit happens correctly.
Right.
Stuff happens properly.
That is totally cool.
Yeah. Sure.
So yes. You can absolutely give me the vice president role.
Sure.
I love that. I don't have any problem. I've never ever had a problem with putting her first.
I get it. Yeah.
She's my equal.
Yeah.
Which is what I was looking for when I said I was looking for a wife.
I was looking
for someone that can be combative with me and can say I don't like your idea.
Okay.
I have my own creative avenues of expression
that
had come to light much later on in our career.
Sure, entertainment is a big one.
As a DJ.
Yeah.
Well, as the DJ and then also as like the builder of everything.
Oh.
So
the builder meaning...
He built our first photo booth out of an IKEA table and a stop sign pole and a mailbox. And we made $40,000 off that photo booth. And that's what
Jesus Christ, MacGyver. That's
so we took that booth and in 8 months took all of the revenue and bought all the gear for Look Entertainment.
Nice.
So we got to start a DJ company off of one photo booth.
Yeah.
So that's what started that whole brand. When she said, oh, I see what you guys could do. That's me and Julio. And as a partner in that, I needed another guy to work with because we're talking about metal and screws, and she doesn't care about that.
I don't care about
that's not your thing.
I'm not a DJ.
I went to a steelworks guy. We went over all the CAD, drawings for the structured booth that we currently sell now. We have 4 or 6 of them ourselves in 2 different formats now.
Yeah.
And it all evolved from an IKEA table and a mailbox.
How funny.
So
it really did. It's incredible.
That's why
that is incredible.
There were expansive avenues that needed someone to kind of just take the realm.
Yeah.
She took the realm on the coordination of the flowers. I had to take the realm on the DJs and the bartenders.
Okay.
Because that was really a good source of steady income for the companies.
Yeah.
So just to feed the family alone, we could say that Wolf started it all.
Uh-huh.
And it gave us our experience to find out what vendor categories were weak that we felt like we could perform in.
Okay, sure.
I like to say it's our flagship company.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah, I mean...
Because you've named all the other companies something different.
Which was a bit of a talking point, and we've talked many times, should we just put it all under a Wolf Wedding?
Should it be like the Wolf Group.
But
the Wolf Pack.
The reason, yeah, we'll talk about that too.
Sure.
This is the reason why it started, because when we first started Wolf Weddings, we actually always had our bar services all along. I was a bartender for 10 years when we first started.
My roommate was one of our very first bartenders.
Yeah, like I was like, yeah, I can sell bar services. Absolutely. I know how to do that. But I never sold them under Wolf Weddings. People never wanted to hire my bar services with the same place that they got their flowers and their planner. It just never happened.
Interesting.
And so I was like, well, I need to figure out a way to sell this better. So we rebranded Garnish, and we were like, let's make a bar company so it's more clear. And it worked like a charm. Like, we all of a sudden we got, you know, interest, and people understood. And so we took that same mentality with Look, and plus Look is the only company we have that's a partnership with Julio.
Mm-hmm.
So it did need to be treated a little bit differently.
Look is the DJ or the photo booth?
Both.
Both.
Okay,
DJ,
both.
Photo booth, and lighting is all in right, just entertainment.
Okay.
Yeah. And we kind of followed that same path. Remember, we had that talk, like, should we just add it to a service to Wolf Weddings? And we were like, well, our experience with the bar is that people don't necessarily want to get, you know, they're not connecting bar to flowers. And I think when it's like two seemingly random services,
really,
like
far
bar
apart
flowers,
in the realm,
it is weird.
Correct.
I think as we've added the services over the years, and now we have this kind of all-inclusive thing that we can offer, I think it makes more sense now. And it's something that we've talked about, like, okay, now that we have multiple services, putting them all under Wolf Weddings could work. And I think that would relate to people. But from a marketing point, like, I think that we would miss out on a lot of
random searches that we come up in.
Yeah, sure,
people
correct.
People not
sure.
Exactly sure, you
that's
know,
correct.
So that's why we've done it. But it has its own set of challenges explaining that to people.
We recognize that 90% of our business is going to come digitally,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
10% from an open house where it's, hi, Derek, nice to meet you, where you actually shake someone's hand and
mm-hmm.
meet them and talk to them face to face
mm-hmm.
without prior arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
I get 6 leads a day through Instagram
mm-hmm.
that just come randomly. Hey, I saw this picture, you work at this venue, I want somewhat of this picture duplicated, but in my own way. They'll send her their inspirations,
mm-hmm.
and now that everything's digital, we can have a contract in their hands with a quote and an invoice within hours if
mm-hmm.
she's actually there. It doesn't
yeah.
normally happen that way, but it could.
Yeah, sure.
So in 24 hours, the customer gets exactly the required information they're looking for with all the pictures that back up the work. That just is digital now.
Well, so I want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about, so the flagship, which was Wolf Weddings, which is coordinating.
And flowers. Flowers is actually our number one service, not planning. It
yeah.
used to
but,
be.
But the first one, not the number one seller, but the very first one that you got into was coordinating.
Was coordinating.
We were
so
both coordinating. That's
you
right.
always had flowers in the perfume?
Yes.
That
okay.
was the goal.
So you went from, you know, this girl that I connected with next to my booth at Russet Gardens, who, if I recall, you were going, how do I raise my prices? You were, you kind of seemed like you
how
were going,
raise prices
how do we
exactly
do everything?
I was
you know?
Very green, and I was like, what do I do?
How
do this is a nice professional who's talking to me, basically.
Yeah, well, and how did you go from that girl and guy to the next step? Because I know where you are now. But how, this is where you started is where probably 90% of my listeners are.
Right.
And going, wait, I get that they're somebody now, but you weren't. So how did you get to the next step?
Relentless grind.
Which means what?
We worked harder than everybody.
So here's what I get all the time is people go, okay, your people come on the show and they say, well, word of mouth. And they say, work hard. And they're like, I don't have business. How
yeah,
do I
have,
work hard?
We didn't have business the first year and a half.
Yeah.
But even though I...
What did you do?
Instead of giving up and being discouraged, even when I had nothing to do and my phone was not ringing at all, I still every day called a venue, asked to get an open house. Every day, I would, before I had any work to show, we would have a little mock-up table in our old dining room. And
yeah.
I would make up like fake content, you know, like I would, you know, make a table setting or make an arrangement because I was dilly-dallying with flowers.
So
website.
So
we have to.
Every
yeah.
day I worked on Wolf Weddings, even if there was no cause
yeah.
to do it.
All day.
And I remember having a few moments of like, damn, like my phone hasn't rang in 3 days and 4 days with a single
sure.
inquiry.
Sure.
Do you remember
Nobody
the first
cares?
Year in July? we didn't get one inquiry for 30 days.
Yeah, sure.
She thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
And then did we pay the phone cyclical, bill? No, yeah. That's the cyclical wedding industry in Texas. They did not know that. That's how uneducated we were.
Sure,
when we started.
Yes, of course.
Well, and when you don't have any sort of establishment or following, I mean, it is like that. Obviously, now 7 years in, luckily the lows are not as low anymore.
Right, that's what happens.
Which learned is great. It does. You coast. You figure out kind of your...
You learn your
rhythm,
lessons.
For absolutely. Sure. But honestly, I mean, it sounds cliche and I wish there was a better answer, but it really is just that every single day I focused on it and I did not give up even if I had nothing to do and no money.
The practical things that you're saying are you made outbound calls to venues or just vendors?
We focused a lot on venues.
Sure.
We have not really been huge fans of like mixer groups and networking groups, other vendors.
Yeah, some people swear by it. That's
their
thing.
To belong to.
It's not been my thing either.
It's
but
not our thing. I think if you are maybe a soul service kind of business, you know that maybe there are, we know there are certain services that benefit from that and certain services that don't. You know, there are certain things that, you know, for example, that you're probably not going to get a whole lot of referrals from a caterer, you know, because people don't usually ask their caterer, what photographer should I go get?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So there is kind of like a natural order from vendor to vendor of what you normally get referrals from. And I think that's understood. But we realized early on, and I think we're right about that, was venues is really kind of like the source of where we wanted to be introduced to our clients from.
And what's your approach with that? Because I have, if there's one thing I've heard from venues, it's that they are so sick of the weight of other people's marketing being put on them, of going, hey, can I connect with you? Can I be in your open house? Can you know? Can I leave my brochures? And they're like, "Well, I'm not your fucking marketing arm," you know.
For sure.
So how? What was your approach? Which is very reasonable. That's not. But what was your approach? How did you gain success?
We never asked them to sell it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never done that.
We would never ask. Very rarely would we leave promotional materials because we know that it goes in a desk drawer and it never comes back out.
Of course.
And if they do pull it out, sometimes it's 2 years later and then the information isn't even proper.
Yep.
Right. You've raised your prices.
Mm-hmm.
especially when you were new.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't publish pricing for quite some time.
Mm.
And then we did publish pricing. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't.
But as far as how we reached out, I mean, just like everybody else, I think we called and we got a lot of no's, like a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I still today reach out to venues all the time and I'm like, no, thank you. We don't want you, we don't need you on the list.
It's funny that you bring that up now because don't act like the hunt slowed
it
down.
Never, the hustle never stops.
It could never stop. Exactly. I just want to make that clear.
Exactly.
That if you're going to start and you want to be new, that once you get in that groove and you've painted your monthly bill picture, right? Like, I want to have this brick and mortar, I have a 5-year lease, or I have whatever bills you have as a business owner, it quickly puts things into reality.
Yeah, it does.
How much performance needs to happen.
Yep.
So, gauge those two, and what kind of lifestyle you want to have, and then you can gauge how much money you're going to make.
Mm.
So, we basically said, we're going to give up our lives for 4 years, and that's what we did.
I mean, he's not exaggerating. We don't have kids, you know, we don't have, like, the traditional family unit, we don't really have a lot of quote-unquote distractions to like pull us from.
That's what I call kids.
Other responsibilities.
Yeah, sure.
So we took these three companies as our personal responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like our three little children to then grow to the next level.
Yeah.
Because we had nothing.
Yeah.
There was nowhere for us to go.
Yeah, we just really wanted to make something for ourselves. You know, we didn't have anything. So we're like, we need to hustle.
That felt like living in South Texas, you had to have a swimming pool in your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a must. It's really hot here.
Yeah,
we don't work, you know, in August.
Right, yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
It's a nice slow down period of time that you can reflect, restock your candles, and, you know, all the things that you've burned through for the whole last 6 months. We put an above ground pool in our backyard when we were just starting out to then project what we wanted.
Sure.
And, like, put it out there. Like, we're going to have our own house, and it's going to have this, and it's going to have that, and we're going to be able to work from home. And that was the main goal, is that we did not want to have a corporate office. We did not want to go to an office.
I think that was always the underlying drive. We just wanted to work for ourselves and have more of a non-traditional day-to-day lifestyle. Mm. We did not enjoy the 9-to-5 commute to a workplace, and really just want to kind of mold our own life and do what we want. Obviously, still run a business, but I mean, we're fortunate. We run a business and stay busy, but for the most part, every day we do what we want to do.
That's awesome.
And it's what more could you ask for?
No, that's exactly what you want. That's the goal, is that kind of freedom.
Achieving the balance.
From entrepreneurialism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Achieving the balance.
Achieving the balance. It is a huge thing that's talked about a lot for people that grind for the 7 to 10 that they say it takes to master a field and then prosper. Mm-hmm. It is so hard for most people. Through we've seen in our experience, even our friends sometimes not spend money. We lived in a very modest place. Our bills were as minimalistic as you could possibly make them, while the business was then in turn creating extreme revenue. Those two right there allow for growth. And so what we did was is we used that to really maximize digital exposure and venue connection. And those helped Wolf grow, and then Look being so well marketed right back to that.
Well, of course, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. But that's a huge reason why Look was.
One hand's got to feed the other. Of course.
Exactly. If we would have brought the brands on at the exact same time and they were competing for traction, especially for Google's algorithm, you know, as far as whatever rankings you come up in, there's just no way that Look would have been able to compete. Because you just can't come up with the pretty content that draws in your demographic like flowers do.
The Hub is supported by Moments and Milestones, a full-service event planning and photography company. That means they can plan and photograph every major life event or party that you have and your family have. From weddings to graduations to quinceañeras to birthdays and showers, they do it all. They do it all within budget, and they do it all with you in mind. They've been around for over 12 years and are based in San Antonio, Texas. You can reach out to them, and reach out to them you should. Run, do not walk, run to the phone and call or text 210-973-6640 or check them out on their website at www.momentsmilestones.com. Here's a real client review. One of our favorite times during all of the hectic wedding planning was working with Derek, Amy, and their team over at Moments and Milestones. The whole vibe of the office is very cool, and they are the perfect combination of fun and professionalism. The whole team was very accessible and quick to respond to emails and phone calls. They are extremely helpful and ready to steer you in the right direction or even suggest other vendors you may need. For example, I almost died because I lost my hairstylist very last minute and Derek referred me to another one who had availability and was wonderful. They also have a perfect planning process in place which ensures they capture exactly what you want. Our photos were gorgeous, our family and friends all loved them, and I looked spectacular, which is the most important thing, right? We 100% recommend the M&M team. They are fantastic and will not disappoint. Mention you heard the ad from the Hub and get 10% off of any package you build with them. Moments and Milestones, we live to see you smile, and we guarantee that you will. This episode shout out goes to Power Sounds Event Entertainment. Look, it's hard to find a good DJ. Someone who's professional, easy to work with on all the days leading up to your event, reasonably priced, be there on time, set up on time, and who will knock the service out of the park on your event day. But David and his son Matthew are a killer duo who fulfill all of these things. I had the pleasure of working with them personally at a recent wedding and was so thankful for their over-the-top communication and how easy it was to be a teammate with them to keep the party rolling and make our mutual client very happy. So here's a well-deserved shout out to you guys. If you, my dear listeners, are looking for a DJ to connect with, refer, or hire, check these guys out online at www.powersoundsdj.com or call or text them at 210-352-0052. Power Sounds DJ, you will be so, so thankful that you connected with them. Okay, all right, let's get back to Raven and Ryan.
Photography, that's another one. You guys have a lot of like just content.
Everything you're showing is beautiful.
And you can edit images. So hard. Getting pictures of planning is like the hardest thing.
Well, and I have heard it looks like I'm writing something down. Like,
this is cheesy. I've heard from a lot of planners, and I've never known how good we had it, but I've heard from a lot of planners that photographers, it's tough to get pictures from them.
It is so hard.
You've got to know the right way to talk to them.
No, well, some planners just don't want to share them, and I think it's just the work of not wanting to do it.
Photographers
don't want to share them. Photographers. Yeah, I still hunt photographers down every single week for the flower pictures.
Sure. Well, we know. You finished the job. You've edited. You moved on.
Yeah, you're so...
We're a past thought.
Well, yeah.
But what we try to do is be nice in the relationship. Sure. Reach out to them and make sure that they know that they get credit. If you see our Instagram page, there isn't one picture there that
the photographer you guys are good
credit.
It's mutually beneficial. Yeah. We're showing
Absolutely. Of course it is.
Why would you want more exposure?
We love when photographers share their photos. And you're right. A lot of them don't. They just don't.
But they show them with the client, like, and then the client shares them with us. So it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a much longer
That's
process.
Not really supposed to happen. Just
it's
so
not,
know,
though, because you want to give them, like, a...
That,
oh, really? I thought they owned those pictures.
They paid for them. They
own the personal. They are not allowed to approve other people to use them for marketing.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, I don't think anybody cares.
So Instagram is not labeled marketing yet because it's free.
Really?
As soon as Instagram is labeled as you need to pay for it, advertising,
like it's a very fine line. I don't give a shit about it, but that's a very gray area.
It is.
And I would be very interested in if photographers, because I don't know this. Like, I couldn't care less. Venues use my pictures and they don't give me credit. And I think, well, that's kind of crummy, but whatever. I don't care.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Venues are like, wow, on the no credit for the photo.
Yeah, venues are really good about that. Why? Because they don't want to act like they're lazy or they don't want to act like they're
paying
someone. But I get it. I don't really care. But I do wonder why photographers don't want to share. Is it just like, because very few photographers, I mean, you guys know, very few photographers, just like planners, just like anybody else, are so swamped and busy that they can't respond
you
to
can't
an
give,
email.
You can't give me a link?
Like,
right? Oh, you send it to your client.
I can't even come up for air.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I'm so under the water.
Yeah, I laugh a lot when I hear that.
I understand that you want to be in the event industry,
but
you get no more reward for being a mother and in the industry, just as a father doesn't get it either.
All right.
So just because I don't have a second job at home raising a family, I don't get less credit. That just doesn't make sense to us.
Yeah.
So that doesn't get any credit
in
like, oh, I'm, you know, so busy.
Right.
I just got to call you back later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an excuse.
So, yeah. Oh, very much is. So we're not partners. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's, now I will tell you on the negative side of things, I had a DJ reach out to us one time because he was just getting his business started. And I'm sure he's a sweet dude. Like, I don't have any connection with this guy. He made me a really cool guy. And I've heard good things about his talent. Okay, so let me set that aside. But his approach to me was, hey, we worked this wedding together 2 years plus back. It was just, he was just getting started and he was starting his website. And he was like, oh, this dude, the groom didn't want to go through his photos. The groom was his buddy. Didn't want to give him his photos. He was like, contact the photographer. He contacts me, but this was his approach. His approach was to say, hey, we worked together, a wedding together a couple years ago. Can you send me the photos? Okay, fine. I said, there's nothing rude about it. It was also zero finesse. So he didn't know what he was asking. He was asking me to go back in my archives years ago, find where I've backed it up, you know, whatever, and then go through and find him and the, you know. So I said, hey, we'll get to you. This was unbeknownst to him, also in the depths of medical stuff. And so he just got put on the back burner. And his next emails were less nice. Hey, man, I've reached out twice. I don't know why you don't have time to get, you know, that kind of. And so I finally responded, much to the ire of my wife. And I said something along the lines of, hey, pal, there has been no introduction of yourself. There's been no trying to connect with me. Just because you say you exist doesn't mean I owe you something.
I'll give you the photos, yeah.
And then he wrote back another, hey, I don't know what business you have being mad at me. You should have. It was just like this weird, like, entitlement that I was like, okay, I'm little bitty. Okay, it's not like I have a lot of influence in the, but why are you picking a fight with me?
Yeah.
Because I owe you something? No, move the fuck on. I've obviously got other shit going on. And I did. Now, I was that guy who was going, I got other things. My life is busy. My 90% of my mind was built up with, oh my God, my wife might die.
Yeah.
And 10% of my mind was, I think I got to keep this business going. Okay, so I had a pretty good excuse, and that's fine, whatever. And he got ticked about it. But, you know, I feel like there's a way, like Ryan's saying, to go, if there had been a, hey man, I've heard great things about your company, I would love to connect with you sometime, I'm just starting my business, is there any chance?
Give me a real deal.
Yeah, is there any, I know. But a little fucking humility. Yeah. A little bit of humility coming to a brand that's existing and going, hey, I want what you have, and I need what you have for me to succeed.
When you're asking for help,
yes.
Should be nice
you should be nice about it when you're asking for help. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's
there's not enough recognition there.
Yeah, and I don't need my ego stroke. This was not that, but I felt like, okay, you're not somebody I'm looking to dig through my archives and spend an hour figuring
and
your shit.
And he's not entitled to your photos. I'm not entitled to any photos either. I just think, like,
we weren't saying
why not?
That by any.
Oh, I don't think
no,
you were.
I get that. No, I get that.
But
sure.
To show the opposite end of the spectrum, where you guys, it sounds like, have been very kind.
We,
I mean, you
we
always
know,
have to me,
but
and we've had competing services.
I feel like
we
I'm
know.
Super friendly, especially when I'm, you know, putting on a professional face. I'm
yeah, sure.
Like very
a vendor
friendly.
Wants from another vendor understanding.
Yes.
Right.
There's
I
camaraderie
understand,
there.
I yeah. understand that you go through the same exact work process putting your pants on as I do.
Yeah.
You probably
do. You put yours on one leg at a time too?
I think so.
Oh my God.
You see how similar we are?
Oh my God.
So if you go to work at the same place and you've got the same hours, right? The waves from whatever to whatever.
Right.
Sure. The florist works super hard for 5 hours before the wedding.
Sure.
And then doesn't do a dang thing until cleanup.
Yeah, sure.
But did the planner do anything for the first 5 hours of the wedding while it was being set up?
Yeah.
Probably not. So
yeah.
Less our so. Team yeah. understands where they go and where they would fit in.
Sure.
But being a overall all-inclusive, you've got to understand that you need to relate to every single vendor. That
yes, you should.
I know what the cake lady went through to get it there.
Yeah.
If I'm asking her to go up a bumpy road on a country, hill country venue,
yeah.
I'm going to let her know, don't stack the cake.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that, as you know what your photographer will go through on the day of, hey man, when you show up, I've got your water waiting for you, your flat's already ready to shoot, just put it in the order that you want. They really appreciate stuff like that.
Sure.
Going it's up and beyond.
Setting them up for success.
Correct. Yeah. And everybody for success. My bartenders don't go without their own bar keys, their own bar mats. Their
yeah.
own, like there are minimums that we make sure we meet.
Yeah.
And if you can do that consistently all the time,
yeah.
it will eventually lead to success.
Yeah.
You're going to get enough people that said, man, they were at my wedding and they worked really hard.
Well, and it sounds like you have very clear processes. It didn't just kind of like people showed up and made it up as they went along. I want to talk about one more thing, if you don't mind, before we kind of move on to a different segment. But I want to talk about husband and wife team and how you guys make that work on a personal level. How do you get out of business mode? How do you get out of, okay, you're good at this and I'm good at this, you know, slapping each other's hands and don't cross party lines, or you know, becoming codependent in certain areas because why lean on him when this happens and he leans on me and I know this is going to trigger her or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, these are just things. I run a business with my wife, so, you know, I can't think it's that different.
Right.
So tell me a little bit, you know, I know this is a very big question, but I'm kind of doing that on purpose because I want to see where you take it. And how does it work for you? How do you make it work?
That's a really big question.
It is.
It because, can be tricky one.
Because that's just like you're asking life questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how do you want
to
live
Can
your
you
life?
Tell me how to do life, please?
Yes. Okay, so what you got to do is grow
oh,
up.
Oh,
yeah.
So, no, honestly, you know.
We want the same things at first.
Yeah.
And that is what we really built our relationship around. So she was wanting to kind of control these certain aspects like flowers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I had no interest in that. Mm-hmm. Great, perfect. Let me see what I can do to support her learning flowers. So what I did is I learned all about all the vases and the structured stuff, right? Because who's gonna build it? Me,
mm-hmm.
right? So I took on that part in that little aspect in my role, right? So we've done that to every single aspect that we touch.
Do you ever feel like you do you ever get from her or her from you that you've overstepped, and how do you handle that?
Oh yeah.
Is that you do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, it was at the beginning a little bit more than
yeah.
now. We've got our systems down.
Yeah, what I was going to say, is that, yes, we stepped on each other's toes a lot in the beginning. Like, in the first couple of years of figuring this out, there was a huge struggle between him and I of, like...
Because y'all are both, and I kind of said you were a good number two, and again, I didn't mean that in importance, but you're both pretty alpha.
We're both pretty alpha.
Yeah. You're both
absolutely, and that's why we need...
In different ways.
Different avenues to go down.
Yeah.
You know, she needed to...
You're very gregarious, and she's like Mighty Mouse over
there. Right, she needs to relate to the female that
somebody
is...
Come in.
Oh yeah, that's weird. Okay. She needed to be able to relate to the demographic of the bride.
Uh-huh.
So yes, there was a lot of struggle of who's going to handle what, and we had to find our rhythm for sure on what works best, because there were, I used to say all the time, too many chiefs. But, you know, and even it caused, to be honest, there were times years ago where our staff was like, who do we follow?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I'm sure there's been lots of moments of like, shit, did you listen to Raymond or not?
That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can go through those growing pains.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yes, just as in marriage, right? You make a commitment to somebody, you need to learn who that person is.
Yeah.
But I want to elaborate on, in the beginning, it was very beneficial to us. I remember when we did a lot more face-to-face time, and I told you earlier, we don't really do that as much anymore. Our brand has evolved a little bit, and we do a lot more things online. They can see Instagram, they can see everything virtually. But in the early days, when we would, you know, meet with them and explain our services and really kind of give them our spiel, so to speak, I would say like half the time they would make a comment about how much they loved that we were married and doing it together as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was something that stood out to them.
Sure.
And gives them the warm and fuzzies, I guess.
Oh, I'm sure.
We absolutely were able to use that in a sales pitch.
Sure.
To benefit.
It did. It worked.
Everything
evolved on its own.
And we would make
fun of it. Because there's relatability everywhere.
Of course.
And this is a very female-dominated industry, so it's nice to have somebody.
And we're in that group
there.
Of love, right?
Yeah.
The two people are coming together because they love each other.
Right.
We needed to be that symbol.
Do you agree with that? Right?
As well.
Okay.
We would need to be that symbol.
Yeah,
to
sure.
To them. They see us having a great relationship and knowing how to... sell together about one event.
Right.
And she'll be very specific at the very beginning. Raven's here to talk to you about flowers and planning and coordination, and I'm here to talk to you about DJs and lighting and, you know, logistics or bar or whatever it is. It was very clear to the client that we were a team.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was interesting to see how many people were really happy about that.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a surprise to us.
We didn't realize that
it was going to be a thing.
That a husband and wife team were preferred.
Interesting.
Well, I don't prefer, but yeah, they liked it for sure. It was warmly received, and we got a lot of comments on it in the early days for sure.
Yeah.
I think as our brand has grown and we have more awesome pros that work for us, and, you know, we've got our coordinators that meet with our clients probably more than we do at this point.
Sure, yeah.
That's faded a little bit because they don't have as much exposure to us, but... I think that definitely kind of kickstarted kind of how we rolled together and was like, yeah, this is how we're supposed to be doing it. We just had to
be some form of like relationship goals in their mind.
I think so.
Right?
That's why we were trying
to.
Yes, exactly. We were trying to make sure that we were putting off the right persona in our own relationship.
Yeah.
Because we were currently working on it.
Yeah.
We were working on a relationship and a business, several businesses together.
Struggles of like, no, I want to do this, and no, I want to do this, and creative differences.
Last question about relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you do when one person wants to go one way and there's a...
Oh, we flip a coin.
Oh, that's not true. We made a rule. Years ago about our domains. So basically, there's like areas where one of us has the final say.
Okay.
So we do everything together as a team. We confer about everything. And I mean, I think that's really true. We go through everything together. Mm-hmm. But if we disagree on certain points and it's within certain realms, so if it has to do with flowers, design, coordination, I get the final say.
Mm-hmm.
And if it has to do with DJ or bar services, Ryan gets the final say. And that's how we've kind of kept the peace with when we're at a stalemate.
Nice. That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know,
and the other one acquiesces, that just happens. Or
which
all,
one?
Whoever. Whoever makes the final call, the other person goes, okay, that's what we
have to
be okay with
submit.
That.
Yeah.
We are, we're big believers of keep it moving.
Yeah.
Okay. And we absolutely need to go to the next wedding, to the next event, to the next client. Because like we said at the beginning, the grind and the hustle doesn't stop.
That's right.
Your bills don't decrease.
Yeah.
You don't get
younger.
I have
found that that's the truth.
You don't get younger as you progress through this process, right?
Yeah.
So knowing that you're on a downward path.
Okay.
Right from the get-go.
That's a great day.
That's why we say that the entrepreneurial, it takes more work than somebody else.
Yeah.
You have to work harder than your competition if you want to be at the forefront. If you want to be one of the first considerations in the event industry, not the second or not the third. Right, you come up in the first searches, you're spoken about with great regard from venues and other vendors, and there's a support network that you understand as a professional, you get one day to perform our services.
Yeah.
You cannot be sick, you can't have a heart attack,
yeah.
your dog can't die,
yeah.
you can't have a problem in your own life.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that our clients understand that there's a backup program to each thing we do. And when there isn't, me and her feel very uncomfortable.
Sure, of course.
Very uncomfortable. So we choose to keep that to an absolute minimum.
Okay, so I'm going to take this to a different segment, and we're going to close this up because I want to be respectful of your time.
Yeah,
but this,
let's end this already. Come on.
Okay, I know. You're in a hurry. You told me you had big, big plans today. But this is called Sell Me On It. It's a role-playing. I'm going to be a potential client. You guys are going to be the prospective vendors. I have been told by the industry, because this is what the industry says, that I should meet the artists themselves and I should only work with the artists. It sounds like you guys have a team of people, and because I've been told that that should make me feel very uncomfortable, I'm very uncomfortable, and I would like you to sell me on your business model and brag on yourselves a little bit and tell me why you do this and what makes you better. And the only caveat is I don't want to... We don't go negative towards any other business model because they work too. But what's the pros of yours?
Yeah. Can we do this?
Sure.
When shopping for your wedding provider, there's obviously a lot of different options, and everybody kind of runs their business and their services and differently and curates them to their own styles and tastes of what they're going to deliver. Not knocking one man services or one man show, so to speak, but that's not the way that our model is designed, because we take much more of an all-inclusive approach. We decided that when we were growing our services and becoming experts in our field, that we really wanted to know everything about the wedding. We didn't want to just know how those flowers should look and how it should look on the table. We really wanted a thorough understanding of every vendor that's there to make it work in harmony. We worked at plenty of weddings where everybody was amazing, but gosh, that DJ was terrible.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It just ruined the whole thing,
yeah. We've all been.
I actually was in a bathroom at one wedding and heard a groom complain about his own DJ.
Oh,
he goes, "This DJ is horrible." And I thought to myself, I just can't go on. So I can't, and that sparked a conversation with Julio and evolvement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. That is truly how kind of this came along.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing things that could have been done a lot better. And we take a team approach. And even when our couples can choose one service or five services with us, it's whatever works best for you. So we have plenty of couples that just get a single service with us where we're just the coordinator, we're just the DJ, whatever works for what they want their wedding day to be. The advantage to going with a company that is more in line with ours is you get a team approach instead of just one person that you're putting all of your hopes and dreams into their one basket.
Sure.
Life happens. So sometimes people get into a car accident.
I've seen that
bumper
sticker.
Happen. Exactly.
What do you think they came up with it?
Yeah.
There are so many moving parts to a wedding that you really do want a team approach. You don't want one person frantically running everywhere trying to figure it out. You need many qualified people to come together to make it happen. And in our experience, when those professionals come from the same umbrella, the same company, they work together every weekend, they know how it works,
mm-hmm.
and you have your provider who you can go to and ask about anything about your wedding. You
mm-hmm.
can call me and talk to me about your flowers, but we can also talk about the flow of your timeline. We can talk about your music selections. We can really go through all of it to give you a fuller picture. I think that there's a big sense of security in that. We have several pros. We're going to get the job done amazingly, just how you want it. And obviously our track record, I think, proves that in itself. But to kind of go back to the core question, there's nothing wrong with one person, one service, But from what we've heard from our couples, it's definitely a lot less stressful and easier to corral your professionals all on one page when they're already on one page, mm-hmm. instead of having to go and get, you know, 8 or 10 vendors that you like, and then they'll try to get them all to work in tandem with each other and sync the way, you know, it should perfectly be done.
Our individual artists have carry around decent sized egos too.
Let's talk about everybody. That. Let's talk yeah. about that for one small aspect. Do it. Because of the team. Yeah. So, our greatest insight, again, on DJ aspect. Let's talk about a crucial aspect. Two that we always know weigh very heavily on our clients. They don't know how it's going to go. They want to be told the flow. Ceremony, mm-hmm. right? Processional. Mm-hmm. Why is everybody behind a closed door? Mm-hmm. Who's going to control the music? Is it going to go out on time, right? And then introductions.
Yeah.
Right? Those two main sections are kind of like where you need somebody that knows what a microphone and music sources and correct timing should be. That led her to, you know, have me really go back into all that stuff with Look. That helped us build the team from the ground. So when I got a few guys to join our team and, you know, recognize that we could give them enough work to keep them busy, we would do microphone sessions here. This is what I want you to sound like when you bring a couple into the room.
Nice.
This is the line you should say. Mm-hmm. All right. Once you create that baseline, then it just evolves from there. So now our coordinators have worked with our DJs and heard him say that line. They know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Your client does not know that.
Yeah.
All right. So building a strong rapport inside a team can happen so much faster than me going to an outside DJ, having coffee with him, getting to know his personality, learning his business model, and knowing he's a responsible individual that'll show up, but then also take all of my direction.
Mm-hmm.
Man to man, that may not go well. And vendor to vendor might not go well. My wife has gotten some resistance from DJs before.
Oh, of course.
Being told DJs what to do. Being told what to do.
Yeah.
We don't really see it as telling you what to do. We would hopefully
maybe it's just
have you recognize.
Pissing contest of sorts. I mean, really. It very.
The only thing annoying that drivers will do sometimes is when they try to like run their own timeline. And
that's
like,
what I mean.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, you know, you understand that if you were a good vendor and you understood we were a good vendor, you would just work with me on
that. Well, that's right.
Just call me.
Oh, there's a mutual respect.
And you know what? When you come around the corner, I'll even have a bottle of water waiting for you.
If
you're nice to me.
Yeah.
I can even sneak you plates of food.
Yeah.
Because coordinators can do lots of things.
That's right.
So having that understanding, you can see that some of the photographers that have worked with us know that we take very good care of them.
Good,
and
yeah.
they come around and they want to send us a referral.
Of course.
Right? So all of that correlated to training a team the right way. She does the exact same approach with our floral assistants.
Mm-hmm.
She still leads the floral team. But, you know, when you've got 30 of something to make,
right.
you can kind of help in the production.
Of
right?
course.
So her assistants take from her lead. She'll build one. She'll make sure all the critique is done.
Yeah.
They get all their stem counts and it kind of just moves on.
So well, it's very important.
That's why I said, keep it moving.
For clients to know that this is the heart of the company and everybody kind of connects to that heart and follows suit. So it's not like you guys are out doing something completely
very
different.
Very much connected.
We want to make sure they know that.
The services that we do, I mean, we're not gods and goddesses here. You can teach the services. You can get good at it. You can train, and that's what we've done. We've curated a really great team. You know, they've been with us for years, and I think it's just the rhythm that like we have every weekend. Our couples tell us it's an easier process when they can call, you know, me or Ryan and talk about the whole gamut.
It's the feedback afterwards that we've learned from.
Nice.
Right.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
The insight from your client's perspective is what you should pay attention to the most when you're new.
Yeah.
Find a way to connect with your client at the beginning that allows you to then reach out to them afterwards.
Mm.
You want to let them know that your services don't end at midnight on that wedding day.
Right.
Please know that you're going to call me. You're going to want to know what happened to your cake topper. Where'd your, wedding shoes go when you kicked them off? Like things like this happen, but when you leave that door open, you can ask for a referral.
That's right.
Right. And you can get the review that you need.
Yeah.
Because when you're new, you have to get reviews to then establish, oh, I've actually done this before.
Yeah.
Because again, there is no school for what we do, right? You have to be taught by somebody else, but you have to teach yourself.
All right. I like it. I'm sold. Last thing we're going to call this.
Uh-oh.
Rapid fire questions. Okay. I don't care who answers.
Okay.
Somebody just jump out there and throw something out. These are easy. No, you know, this is not a competition.
That would be awesome.
All right.
We're not competitive at all.
No, that's good. That's really nice. You guys are totally team players with each other. Go-to cocktail.
Ooh.
Old fashioned.
Nice.
Espresso martini.
All right.
That's
all
the
right.
Go-to?
I don't know. It's the first one that came to my head. I've been drinking a lot of smashes recently.
Yeah,
I'm saying. Blackberry smash.
Blackberry smash?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, this is a time to fire. It's just like...
You messed it up.
Whatever is available. Celebrity crush.
Oh.
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Yes, Jesus.
I might say her, too.
Yeah.
That would be
bad. Yeah.
What's his name? Shamar Moore. Yeah.
Who's that? She likes the...
Shamar Moore, the guy from Young and the Restless. Yeah. He does the same role in every show. He's on Squad.
He's like a TV badass.
Okay, fair enough. Biggest influence in your work? It doesn't have to be another artist, just or somebody who's made the biggest influence in your work.
YouTube.
YouTube? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's where I get all of my DJ insight.
Yeah.
I mean, when I wanted to get back into the game and relearn everything,
yep.
because it came from turntables to now everything's kind of somewhat
yep,
digital,
sure. yeah.
I had to get back in it and relearn it all, and I learned it all from YouTube.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'd say Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see a lot of flower work on Instagram. And
that's what florists have told me.
It's a really
yeah.
good source of like inspiration and to see things you haven't
it's
thought
better
of
course.
Yet.
It's better than Pinterest. It's not as repetitive.
Yeah.
Because in the wedding boards, they kind of always seem to highlight the same wedding picture. Like, I've seen the same wedding pictures for like 5 years.
Pinterest,
of course. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. You can take this question one of two ways. Best piece of advice you've ever received or best advice that you've given? Whichever one you feel like resonates with you.
I don't like to give advice that I've received from anyone.
Okay.
Okay, what's yours for received?
The question was not which of these do you want to choose. You actually have to give the advice.
You actually have to not answer. Dang it. Dang it. Yeah, too.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Don't worry about it. What's your favorite book?
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh,
or
good
Lolita.
One.
I really love Lolita.
Okay, excellent. Both classics.
Mine is
one
so,
creepier than the other.
Mine is so much more simple and very childish.
Yeah, that's okay.
The girl with the silver eyes, because I
oh, we just
loved.
About that.
I loved how the girl just had telekinesis.
I don't know this one.
Where she could move things with her eyes. I okay. When I was in grade school too.
Telekinesis.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a thing as when I was a kid. I was so amazed if a human being could have superpower.
That'd be
right,
so great.
Like Power Rangers
yeah.
or whatever.
It was
whatever cartoon I was
yeah.
watching at the time
it
had
you
a
have
superhero.
That
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that book really stuck out in my head, and I will honestly tell you that after I read that book, I probably never read another one. Because I found sports. And then I just totally, like, all right, I'm not going to be I'm going to be a jock. I'm no longer going to read another book.
I really like the way you justified not reading again, but I will, I'll give you that. That's very good stuff.
I didn't get back into reading and learning of new skills until I got back into the mortgage industry.
Never picked up the book again.
It was so good, I never had to read it again.
I was done.
No wonder it's your favorite book.
Yeah.
I haven't read one since 1979, well, but that's my favorite. Okay, an experience that you don't want to repeat, but it changed you for the better.
Huh. Wedding related?
Whatever, life related.
Okay, I would say college.
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was expensive. But all in all, after
I heard it was at least $1,000.
It was. And it was worth it. And I do think that I really can't honestly say I would be doing the same thing exactly how it would have worked out if I hadn't gone to college. Even though I say all the time I didn't need to. I think I did.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. What's your happy place?
In the
backyard,
outside.
Nice.
Right here.
Yeah.
We decided not going with the corporate feel, right? To go to an
yeah.
office that
this
we would.
This place gotta be bomb.
Right.
Yeah,
we were
it's
gonna,
great.
We were
it's
try
lovely.
To make the house
it's so beautiful.
As comfortable
yeah.
as possible for
yeah.
us. So we do check out, you know, like
sure.
a normal person, and you don't look at the computer for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
That's the time when you can change into your suit and
yeah, that's
hang
great.
Out in the back.
Right
yeah.
now, we're still very much enjoying. House. We just
good for
but we haven't wore it out yet.
Yeah.
It's still
yeah.
kind of new.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Well, the first 6 months we lived here, all we did was work.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was...
We moved in the winter, well, at the beginning of the year.
So yeah, it was kind of tough. Like, you just start booking.
And yeah, then, oh, that's which is nice.
Which is nice.
Dump right. a bunch of money into right. your house.
Exactly. It's kind of nice to book. We're like, thank God. Yeah. Thank God our business is still running.
Morning or evening rituals? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
go. Morning is my favorite and probably our biggest ritual. We always wake up in the morning.
What time?
Don't give too much away.
6:30, 7 in the morning.
We're pretty early. I'm usually up before her.
Usually wakes up first, around 6. So I usually go around 7. Make coffee. Really, what kind of coffee?
Do you have secrets that you don't want to share in the morning?
Right?
No, it's piqued my interest now. Like, what happens in the morning?
There's a lot of, lots of work gets done before the actual computer gets turned on.
Oh, okay.
So, like, our morning conversation is a, you know, usually a recap of what we need to get done.
Going back to turning off business, it's hard for us.
Sure.
It's kind of like a business that's always peppered throughout our
sure,
life.
Of course it is.
So yeah, we talk about it in the morning.
Because it's all life related.
Yeah.
I'll need to leave the house, so she would need to have responsibility of the phone.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So it's a constant trade-off for us that we always do.
Yeah, of course. Makes sense.
But we drink coffee, watch the news, do yoga every morning.
Good for you.
And,
smart.
And then we usually check the garden and then get to work.
What time do you get to work? What's your day like start officially?
Well, officially, hours are published at Google at 10.
Okay.
So the phone can start ringing right around that time.
I'll answer starting at 10. But yeah, usually about 10 or 11, I'm in my office working.
Getting started.
Best time to like, you know, call
That's
me
great.
And get stuff going. Yeah.
What do you want people to remember about you after they meet you? What do you want your first impression or what do you want your impression on people?
From our clients.
People.
From our clients, 100% that we care. Because Ryan and I care too much, like to our detriment sometimes, you know, nitpicking.
This isn't an interview.
Things.
You don't have to tell me your,
no, but it is.
Your weaknesses,
too much.
That like, you're too good.
We do. No, we care too
not,
much.
That's not what that means.
I know.
It means that you still toss and turn in bed like every.
Over dumb things too. And we have
over flowers.
Little things where it's like, you know, keep it moving is kind of our mantra because of that. Like
she's like, how are you going to get those flowers to hang from the ceiling? I'm like, I got it, girl. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
But at the beginning, it would cause you to lose sleep. Because you don't know how you're going to get some of these things done. Just like I'm sure when you shot 5 weddings on a weekend, you didn't know how you were going to edit 60,000 photos or whatever the hell the number is.
Sure.
It's just an immense amount of workload that you've taken on as a responsibility because you sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Raven's like, man, I'm putting it, I'm doing this to us, mm-hmm. basically. With,
oh, yeah.
With,
yeah.
You know, so... managing that has
that's really very interesting. We've had those exact same conversations laying in bed staring at the ceiling going, holy fuck, what did we get ourselves into tomorrow?
Seriously. And I have witnessed my wife the day before caring so much that she wouldn't even really want to eat very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's not a healthy way to
that's
run
right.
business
yeah.
at all. So
that's what I mean by we care so much. Like it is literally something we do still even every day.
It still happens.
Yeah,
and we've been doing it this long already.
Well, you take it personally. You take ownership.
We do.
Of it.
Yes,
we do.
Like it's
even if it was called like you know something events, it would still keep you awake at night.
Yeah, but like let's talk real life. When we run a business, mistakes do happen.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean? Sometimes we make mistakes.
Perfect.
Sometimes shit happens.
Yeah,
and
it does.
When those instances do happen, it literally keeps us up at night.
Of course,
we
it does.
Do. And I don't think. People quite or clients. I feel like other vendors get it. They're like right there with you.
Sister. Yeah, sure. Because yeah. it's relatable.
But brides and grooms, yeah. like, you know, I don't think they really understand how much wedding professionals do care about mm-hmm. what they're doing. You kind of touched on it last week at the Witty when you were like, all these people have hearts of teachers. You know, we really do care. This is something along those lines. And I was like, yeah, that's
who,
so true.
Who else would go to work every day wanting to educate uneducated clients consistently and repetitively
yeah.
like we have chosen to?
Mm-hmm.
We have the same conversation mm-hmm. all the time.
Well, one of the things I tell my clients and on this podcast is to find those vendors who have a heart of a teacher, because if you don't, I feel like, well, then it's just your own, and it may be a wonderful artist,
yeah.
but it's just your own
just action.
Version of life that's coming out. It's not the person who's hiring you, who's commissioned you to do that art
right.
version of life. And so there's got to be somebody who's not only empathic enough to life, to create art, but that's empathic to their clients to go, what does this person need and how can I create mm-hmm. in such a way that relates to that person? And yeah, it is. It is absolutely that. Can we circle back to advice?
Oh.
If you don't have it, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I have one other than
do it.
Never give up.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there you go.
It's huge. Very, very simple.
Yeah, that one. But for advice to entrepreneurs wanting to get into this, the biggest piece of advice that I wish I had been told when I started was to not undervalue yourself. Mm. So just because you don't have experience or a lot of experience and you don't have a lot of reviews, okay. Yeah, don't shoot for the moon and stars, you know, and overprice yourself. But be realistic, because you're doing not only yourself a disservice, but all of the other vendors in the industry a disservice when you come in as the new guy with this unbelievable price. And everybody else, all the couples are wondering why everybody else isn't priced that way.
Correct.
Because it's not a sustainable price, which
you'll find
out right away.
Yeah.
And you'll realize that you've been working your tail off for very little money.
It's not scalable. Yeah.
And it's not scalable. And yeah, I mean, we went through a similar thing where in 2015, we had this little explosion of business, and it was too fast, it was too quick, and after the end of the year when we tallied it up, we're like, we did not make any extra money than the year before.
We took on so much more work.
Yeah,
we beat ourselves to the grind that year. I remember going to bed so tired every day and then having to wake up and go right back to work again.
I remember running into you at HEB and you looked like you're about to fall over that night.
That was the hustle period of time that I'm talking about, where we just absolutely worked way harder than we probably should have been doing.
It was a mistake.
Because it was a mistake.
So, and part of the reason why we had that is because we were way too underpriced.
Sure.
way too underpriced.
Super hungry and could never get
forward. Very hungry and afraid. And I was afraid. I was the one really setting our prices and negotiating, you know, the prices with the brides. Right. And I was afraid to ask for what I knew we were really worth.
Sure.
Because I was afraid of not filling my calendar. But I would just recommend to entrepreneurs that it will come in due process. You keep doing it, it will come. Your calendar will get full, and they'll be paying the rate that you should be getting paid.
Yeah, you're going to see from other vendors, the thing that was the biggest mistake that we made when we started was that.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that we were so underpriced that we were actually making some vendors upset.
Oh yeah.
And now we see that. When you see, you know, a planner come in and she's offering, you know, great services at this
unbelievable price.
A fraction of your rate is very, one, you cannot compete with it.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that person who's coming in, while they're probably fantastic, I'm not saying the price is a reflection of
Correct.
Their services, they're probably amazing, but if we're going to keep this industry where we're all able to thrive and live our lives, we need to all kind of realize that you can't, having those that come in and undercut is not doing anybody favors, not even the person getting the business. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say or promote before we sign out here?
I don't
really
promote.
Isn't this whole thing been self-promotion?
I don't have a new project or anything.
We never really talked to anybody about any of this stuff before. This has all solely been between,
I'm honored to connect with you. I've been wanting to connect with you anyways. This is, you know what, I'll be very honest, this is a great excuse for me to connect with people that I admire and go
get out of the office.
I see you guys from afar, you're doing amazing things, and I admire you and I want to connect with you, and I don't have any like other way. So this is a great way for me to learn about you guys. So that's very fun. Thank you for your time, and we'll call it from here.